Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Olé! Sorry.
Just had the magic in me today.
That's what they call it.
Not drugs.
Some drugs.
That implies that drugs are never in you. There's a time of non-drug. There's a drug armistice.
There isn't time of non-drug. It's called bedtime.
Nah, I don't think you've not seen one of them in a while.
That's a good point.
You don't have night nurse. You have Dr. Feelgood.
Come on to the rock show. Come on to the people's show. Come on to the premiere show. Smackdown.
It's the 16th of May in the year of our Lord 2002.
Tiger Woods PGA Tour golf.
Yay.
Hey.
About a Boy, still number one. Holly Valance's Kiss Kiss. The pretty nice earworm from the former Neighbours and future Kevin Nash co-star in the film Dead or Alive is the number one single in the UK.
She recently came under some scrutiny because she said that, you know, the Conservatives are right. And we should all just get on with it.
Yeah, she's right-wing as fuck.
Yeah. I didn't know we were heading into the Hollywood Ants right-wing story arc. But here we are. Here we are.
Yeah. Kiss, kiss. Any interest I've got in you, away. Oh. Doves, The Last Broadcast is the number one album. I listen to a few of their songs and they sound like every other indie white boy UK band the next decade will have to endure.
Well, you know what? The thing that rings a bell with me is because my dad doesn't get into many songs, just the captain. But he told me about this one song, and he kind of gave me the... It goes like, oh, why is so God a Dubai? And I was like, okay. And I found out it was the Doves and Pounding, and he loved it. And I was like, that's funny. Dad's got music on his phone with his Doves Pounding and anything from Public Image Limited.
Oh, wow.
And The Jam. Whenever I ring him, he plays The Jam London Calling. That's the other on his phone.
The Jam London Calling?
Because they always, when I was growing up, the belief would be I'd go and seek my fortune. Oh, sorry, The Clash London Calling, Captain Dickhead. I work on radio. No, you're right. Thank you for calling me out on that. The Clash London Calling, because the belief was I'd go and seek my fortune in London when I was older, as opposed to going in completely the opposite direction. In every sense of the word. So The Clash London Calling is the other one on his phone. But
that's nice.
So when you read that, that resonated in my soul.
Oh.
That did for that reason.
Still.
Sorry, I had to clear my throat at the
Still.
Same time.
Like the Doves, you flew in a north-easterly direction.
I did.
I'm glad that it did well for you. I thought they were crap.
That's fair.
On the final day of the Premier League season, Liverpool beat Ipswich Town 5-0 to confirm second place. Their first top two finish since 91. That heavy defeat meant that the Tractor Boys were relegated, and it also resulted in Manchester United being forced to settle for third place. Oh,
there'll
be a collection place after the podcast, you bunch of Muppets. And then Sunderland confirmed their survival, sadly, with a 1-1 home draw against the already relegated Derby County. Well, some sentences you just leave out there to be laughed at by the browser. FBI agent Robert Hansen is sentenced to life imprisonment without the possibility of parole for selling American secrets to Moscow for $1.4 million in cash and diamonds. But I already brought this up because I just saw a documentary about him. He'd been doing it since the late 70s or the early 80s, and they only found him out like the last few years. They're like, oh, it's him? Oh,
the guy who just keeps sneaking off with envelopes at the end of the day.
Yeah, we've caught you over this last few years. He's like, ah, yeah, went on a bit before that, mate. Sorry. And they were like, just absolutely gutted it. We went on that long. So, oh well. Oh, also, this thing called Spider-Man's released in theatres as the first film in the Spider-Man trilogy. Whatever. Big game this week is the PS2 version of Headhunter.
Ooh, that is one that ends up in the pre-owned bin all the time at our place.
Yeah, the front cover looks vaguely like Metal Gear Solid a bit because of the dark background and the dude with shades on and the writing. And yeah, the only thing it was hunting was, as you said, the bottom of the bargain bin.
The pre-owned bin.
Yeah. And in Emmerdale, reaping the benefits of his fraudulent behavior, Scott treats Chloe to a night on the tiles as they sneak back into the village.
Just what is it, like a kitchen warehouse? Or bathroom repair shop.
Oh, just Bed Bath and Beyond. Only if you're lucky.
I like the Beyond part.
The sports car they are driving appears to cause quite a stir. As curtains begin to twitch, suspicions are raised as to how Scott's humble salary could stretch so far. Yes, he's also been selling secrets to Moscow.
The brilliant twist!
For cash, diamonds, and Toyotas. But all that was happening in the confusing world of 2002. What was happening in the magnificently interesting world of professional wrestling? That question can only be answered right here, right now. It's Mafu, it's Tom. It's the Cultaholic SmackDown Classic Review. How you doing, Tom?
Ah, I'm good, matey. I must tell you what Alex did in her sleep last night. Just get us off the bat.
Fuck Tom.
She doesn't say that. I must tell you... I hate cats. Fast asleep, there I was, doing that really annoying thing that both you and Alex agree is really annoying that I do. You know, when I get into bed and go to sleep... Like a twat.
All right. Good night, Tom. 3, 2, 1. Yeah, that.
Like a dick. And I woke up feeling a hand on my arm.
Oh, yeah?
And I woke up and Alex was like right next to me staring at me. And she went, and who are you again? I went, I'm Tom. Oh, you're Tom, are you? Yeah? Like quite aggressively. Right. I was like, yeah, I'm going to be your husband. It's me. It's Tom. Right, okay, as long as you say so, because there's a lot of fucking people in here and I don't know who they are. And I realise, okay, she's dreaming. She's having a weird dream. So I just said, look, I'll tell you what, I'll go find out who the other people are and you wait here. You went, yeah, it's Tom though, right? I went, yeah, it's Tom. And then she went back to sleep within a second. I was like,
oh.
The next, we woke up in the morning and she went, hey, I'm really sorry about last night. I said, oh, don't worry about it. It was funny. She said, what, me coughing all night was funny? I said, oh, you don't know the other thing you did? And I told her and she was really upset. She's like, I don't know why I'm having dreams like that. I don't remember what I was dreaming about. But I said, you said it to the point where I started questioning if I was Tom.
Oh.
And who are you again? I'm Tom. Oh, Tom, yeah?
That sucks. Yeah, because my ex would do something similar to Tom.
Like, oh, really?
It'd be like, you know, eyes wide open, and they'd say just nonsensical sentences, but you'd be paying attention trying to figure it out because they were asleep.
Mm.
The body's awake, but the brain's at 0%. To be like, the French champagne.
the French.
What about it? It's from France, isn't it? I believe
it's your
so.
Your ex-boyfriend, Orson Welles.
The French. I thought, nonsensical sentences. One of the greatest writers and playwrights of all time, just talking shite. Yeah, just say something like that and then goes to sleep. And you're like, oh. And you're left wide awake going, and what the fuck was that? They're ZZ.
I've just learned, because it's happened a few times with Alex where she sort of says stuff nonsensical. So I've just learned the best thing I can do is just play along and then reassure. Like there was one time where she went, I don't know how you can lie there with all these rocks falling around us. I said, we're safe here. I tell you what, I'll put my arm around you so then other rocks get you. It's like, I just find if I play along.
That's nice.
I find I play along with it. But that's, so it's been that this week. I went on my longest run ever. Sunday. Hour and a half. Fucking beast mood.
Yeah,
you know, I had that shit in me.
Because what Tom needs is more energy.
Fucking yes. I love it. And you know what was I found fascinating was, I accidentally did the Bladen races, basically.
Okay.
Because I ran down the Scotswood Road and then ended up by the Bladen Rugby Club. Went, oh, fuck, I've just done the Bladen race.
Well done.
I'm carrying on. And I carried on towards Rowlands Gill. And it was, and I got to about 10 minutes before the end. And there was part of me that went, because I'd agreed with myself, I'm going to run an hour and a half. And I'm going to stop. And I got about 10 minutes before the end and I went, you know what? I'm kind of sad that I'm nearly at the end because I've kind of gone over that. There's that bit, isn't there, where it's shit, it's crap, it's all right. It's actually, this is fine now. I've got some good music on. I've got a stride. This is good. And I gave it a little bit of socks in the last 5 or 6 minutes, as I always do. And then I got a stitch and went, actually, I'm really fucking glad this is finishing. Mm. What annoyed me was I've got the Strava app to track my runs now.
Yep.
So I'm using Couch to 5K, which honestly, and a few people have asked me, like, how are you doing it? Couch to 5K, it's a free NHS app, which I use, and it has fucking changed my life in terms of running. The week one, you do 60 seconds of running, then 90 seconds of walking, repeat 6 times. That's your first week. This is not Spawn, by the way. This is just me, like, I'm very passionate about this app because I started as somebody who can't run. And that was how they started me for the first week, to do that 3 times a week, to the point where I'm now doing fucking 90-minute runs. You can do it, I promise you. But I'm using Strava now to actually track how far I'm going, my average speed, just because for the Great North Run, I want to make sure that, okay, so by the time I finish the run on Sunday, it was like, I've run 11K. So really, for the Great North Run, I just need to do that twice.
Mm.
So it's just getting into my head of like, okay, so if I, because the Great North Run is 21K. So I go, okay, so I need to just do that and then do that again. And then we're pretty much there. So it's helping there. But the Strava app fucking humbled me on Sunday because I planned to do 90 minutes. I said I'm going to do 90 minutes. And for some reason, the timer stopped at 1:29 and 43 seconds. I'm like, you fucking... And my father-in-law's laughed at me since then. He's gone, oh, actually, you didn't do 90 minutes, Tom. Mm-hmm. You did 92 minutes and 43 seconds. Don't you start with me. I definitely did hour and a half, but I felt great. Oh, my God. I mean, I felt it the next day, but felt fucking great. By the time you hear this, hopefully I've done a longer run this time. But that's by the by. How are you, more importantly?
I'm grand, mate. I'm grand.
Yeah? Mm. What's new? What's cracking?
I also had a bad, weird nightmare last night.
What'd you dream about?
I was getting yelled at.
Oh.
He's just like, I was supposed to drive. It was like a hostage situation. You know, it's a dream, so have to make sense.
Oh, God, yeah.
I had to drive to a certain place, go, and then, like, ring up this person. But, like, I got there, and, like, all right, cool, you need to ring up the dude. And looked, I was like, oh, I've left the phone. Damn it, no, you have to be at this exact spot to do the phone call.
Oh, shit.
And they're like, where is it? I'm like, pretended I couldn't hear them. Which doesn't make any sense, because how were they telling me there? I must have had a different phone, but it was like a small little, like, Nokia 9310.
So you needed a different phone to make the important phone call.
So I used the other phone. I was like, oh, no, I'm going through a tunnel. And hung up and drove off, just looking behind me the entire way. I'm there like, the fuck time is it? Wake up, it's 5 a.m. I went, no, I'm out of bed.
The stress in those dreams, no matter how bollocks they are, is so real.
I fully agree.
And when you know, and sometimes even in the dream you realise it's bollocks, but you can't shake that anxiety, the fact that there's a chance, actually it might not be bollocks.
Yeah.
You know, it's a real thing.
We shouldn't focus on the anxiety, you should focus on the positivity.
Oh, God, yeah.
Like the full mailbag we've got.
We have got a bursting mailbag. Well, I've picked two for this week, because I don't want us to go too mailbag heavy.
It's full
heavy.
With two.
Thank you. There's more than two, but I've picked two in particular for us to gas about before we get into this week. Classic at cultaholic.com. If you would like to be involved in the mailbag section. Nikki R. in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Hiya, Nikki R. You should be coming up to the Plane Ride from Hell episode soon. We've just kind of done it, really, haven't we? What is the naughtiest thing either of you have done on a plane?
Vomit.
Did you vomit?
Mm.
Can you remember where and how? And
yeah, I remember I devoured the free like lunch they gave. I was just like, oh, here we are. Would you like chicken? Yeah, chicken, whatever. And I'm like, blah, 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 ate it all. And then I was noticing the people around me going, think this food's a bit off. It was only afterwards, and I was just there like, oh, I feel very uncomfortable and ill. Yeah, here we go.
No.
It wasn't after I was watching the film Filth, which is just one you want to watch when you're about to vom. And I'm like, oh, let me go stand up. And hit all of the tannoy. Bit, bing bong. Please don't go to the toilet. It's got turbulence, so please remain seated. I'm like, uh-oh. And I'm like, what am I going to do? I want to go to vom. And so it's got the stick second back Reggae. And it was so funny. The comic timing on this, you'd have loved it. So it did another tannoy thing going bing bong. Yep. Still turbulence. And when it does that tannoy notification, the whatever media you're watching on the free stuff, like, goes off for a few seconds. So it's nothing but just the noise of people around you. And at that exact moment, I went, sorry about this.
Oh, God.
I yelled it because I'm a loud vomiter.
You're loud.
I'm proud of it. Like that. And it was, I knew it was fucking loud. I knew people heard it because as soon as like the plane landed, hello, here's your destination, bing bong. People were like, all right, buddy, you made it.
See, you made some friends along the way.
It was so great, yeah, because there was a layover, so I'm waiting at the next destination and some guy waved at me and I went, oh, that's nice. Have I got a fan like here in the airport? And he goes, oh yeah, you're the dude who vomited.
Vomit guy.
I went, yeah, that's me. He went, yeah. We were at the back of the plane going, I don't know, is this food smell bad or is just how airplane food usually is? Like, oh no, I don't hear anybody else complaining in the front of the plane. We heard going, bleh. So I went, oh, let's not eat this food. So thanks, we owe you one. I went, cheers, pal.
Oh, bless you.
So there we go.
You are the vomit guy.
Matthew the vomit guy. Not that bad, I know, but I mean, there's nothing. What else is there going to be? No, I'm a good. I go on the plane, I sit down, put my music on,
play the game,
and I could be left alone for like 9 hours.
And so. I like that about going on a plane. I'm quite happy in my solitude of just putting headphones on and losing myself on a flight. Alex will normally watch. Like, I think the long. Obviously, we did the Australia flight last year, and we both dreaded it. But it was. I think she watched the entire Harry Potter movie series all the way there to calm down.
That is quite a bad
but
thing. Like.
That's not a bad thing to do. No. I've done nothing bad on the flight.
Oh, no,
so this is the most.
Vomit, man.
You made me laugh. Coffee guy.
I literally just watched this fucking shirt. Whatever.
Oh, bless you, mate. Don't turn it inside out.
I'll turn you inside out.
Matthew has spilt drink down his shirt, bless him. Joel. Now, I've never been naughty.
Keep on talking. I'm just going to go get a little coffee.
All righty. I want to tell you my story. So what I'll do is whilst you are away, I will do a little bit of admin. So heads up, as you can tell, this is different because you're hearing the classic SmackDown review on a Sunday. It is WrestleMania Sunday. Yesterday, we dropped part 4 of Roads to WrestleMania. It is a massive deep dive project that myself, Fraser Porter, and Aidan Gibbons have been working on for the past few months, chronicling every single step of the Cody Rhodes journey from the Waffle House with his dad to WrestleMania 40. So you heard that yesterday. So it's a rare classic SmackDown review on a Sunday that you're listening to. WrestleMania Sunday, no less. So by now, you're probably very excited about WrestleMania, and we thank you for taking time to step away with us and do that. We will not be here next week at all, Saturday or Sunday. Just a heads up on that, because the truth behind it is there's going to be a gargantuan episode of the Classic SmackDown review, which will therefore eat into the time that we'd normally do watching a watch along. So we've just said we're going to miss next week. We're going to let you do episode of the classic podcast, of the Godolic regular podcast.
Right, as much as the idea of, ooh, coming in and doing a three-hour thing with Tom and then 6 hours with Ross. Like, yeah, all right, I love
that's
yous.
That's a horrible time, though.
I love yous, but fuck off.
Totally get it, mate.
I am back. I have a coat on.
Yes, welcome back. So this week, as you could tell, we're on a Sunday. Happy WrestleMania Sunday. Didn't The Rock do well yesterday, etc.?
He looked good.
He looked great. I like the bit where his bicep didn't fall off. And next week, no episode. Back the week after with a watch along, the retro reactions for Judgment Day 2002. Cool. So I've never been naughty on a plane. I have been a complete arse before and after a flight. So,
oh.
And it's normally around my brothers, right? So they're a bad influence. So I remember the first time we flew upper class with my mum and dad. And we got into the upper class lounge, and me and Mike are just being dicks because we're there going, oh, it's wow posh in here. Can we have, is it like going, I remember Mike going over to like the food and drink bit and going, Mom, is all this free? Is it all free? Oh, it's wow posh in here. Yeah. And we thought we were being fucking hilarious, but dad came over to us and said, can you two dickheads pack it in? Because your mum's on the verge of tears here because you're embarrassing. I was like, oh, sorry. But then we got the giggles in us then. We were looking at each other, having like a drink, so going, wow, posh, isn't it? Wow, posh. There was another incident with me and my brothers being dickheads where we just get into our own little world, as you'll find out on the stag do, where we just laugh at silly shit for ages. And then we were in, it was me, my dad, my mom, Jim, and Mike, and we were waiting to go through customs at New York, and we were just having shit crack and laughing, probably too loud. And Dad went, "You three, can you just pack it in? Because this is you've got to be serious getting through customs.
Sensing a pattern here.
Yeah, you three pack it in." So we all stopped, right? Now, what happened here is completely... And I've told this story to my mum and dad afterwards. They found, and it's even funnier now. So we stopped and we were quiet. Jim, because we were on a long flight, Jim grabbed his leg, his shin, and lifted it, like to stretch his leg out. So you know, like when you do like the flamingo position. So like you pull your leg up and you stretch your leg like that. Now, by complete coincidence, as the universe had moved, I had done the same thing. Where I was stretching my leg and I grabbed the shin and I was stretching my leg. Our little brother Mike saw me and Jim both holding our legs from flamingo position at the same time. He thought it was the right fucking game. He grabbed his leg and pulled it as well. At that time, my dad turned around, saw all three of us holding our legs in a queue, and he went, "You fucking dickheads, I told you!" Screamed at us. And you know what?
You're not allowed to stretch? Only one man can stretch?
It was more the fact that it just looked like us three were being pricks again. Because we were all doing that same pose at the same time. And it was just... Mike was the only one that was doing it for a laugh. We weren't, but we were all doing it at the same time. And Dad just thought we were just being pricks again.
That's what happens. It's like the same character.
Just three different... Yeah. That's what happens when you press CR yeah. to move through all the costumes.
Yeah. That's right, Tom with ref shirt.
So we've never been arses on a flight, certainly been arses around a flight. Thank you, Nikki R.
Thank you, Nikki R.
Philip Schaefer says, as you're almost at the point of my birthday on the SmackDown review, thank you, I thought I'd share a little fun fact. A few years ago, there was a trend going around to look up who was champion at the time of your birth and post it. That still pops around every so often, doesn't it? I was expecting Triple H or Jericho or Angle, but the Wikipedia page said Hulk Hogan. I was having never looked into the year 2002 in wrestling, I was very confused. Sure enough, Hogan had his last little title run around my birth month in 2002, as we've been experiencing. Also, I found out around that time that Hogan was revealed to be a big racist. So I wasn't too keen on posting a picture of him and calling him my personal WWE champion. With that said, what are some weird tie-ins of your life and wrestling? So times where like the streams have crossed, I guess.
Yeah.
Where like the world of wrestling has leaked over into the real. There's a few times when we've watched stuff on Netflix and documentaries and something wrestling-y has happened. Like when we watched Paul Hollywood doing his show in Japan and then he meets Ladybeard. And we're watching it and they go, hey, he's not just this crazy singer, he's also a pro wrestler. I'm like, oh! And anytime something wrestling-y happens on a Netflix show, they go, Tom, get him, ring him. So inevitably they become guests on Desert Island Craps because I find out who they are and get hold of them. Mm. There's quite a lot of that crossover, I find. One of my closest friends, one of my oldest friends, was up this past weekend in Newcastle. She's just started seeing a new guy who lives in Worcester, who happens to be originally from Newcastle, but lives in Worcester. And he not only is a wrestling fan, she found out a few weeks into their relationship, not only is he a wrestling fan, but he's a Cultaholic fan.
No.
So she was saying, and she found out when they were on a train together and he was talking about the wrestling stuff. And she went, oh, I've got an old friend who does like wrestling stuff on YouTube. Like I've known Tom for years. He's doing really well with it. And he does like videos where he talks about the wrestling stuff. And he went, it's not Tom Campbell, is it? And she went, oh yeah, it is actually. And he went, no way. And... So I got to meet Phil last weekend. He's lush. He's a lovely egg. He's looking after my friend, which is all you can ask for.
That's an impression of a lad from Worcester.
No, he's from Newcastle. Yeah. We decided that we were part
Worcester, Australia.
Worcester. Sometimes the accents mould in my mouth. I don't do accents very well. I don't know whether
Tom that's helps me have a good day.
Good day, copper. Let's gun down the Tyne Bridge.
Let's go to Newcastle. Yes, there's one in Australia too.
Struth, he said. Struth pet. So that's nice when it crosses the streams like that. And he went to his first North show and Heather went to her first North show as well. And they had a lovely time. It was nice to see them. How about you? Any times where the streams have crossed?
I'm trying to think. You think there would be loads. All that seems to happen is I compliment someone on the podcast the main one, and something really bad happens on the next fucking week. Thank you, my close personal friend, Drew Gulak. I got a shout out last time.
Oh.
Fuck's sake.
Well.
But he's one. I'm not speaking him out because of this week. It seems to be like a recurring thing. You know what my favorite indie star is? It's name of top indie dude. Looks. Oh, no. They've broken their leg in 19 places this week. Fuck's sake.
So you're kind of like a, you're kind of like the Death Note for wrestlers.
Yes. I'll go with that.
If I were an indie wrestler, and knowing it's WrestleMania week, you'll probably be talking about a few indie wrestlers this week. I'd be terrified if I were them.
Oh, there's loads of the bastards this weekend. So,
oh,
yeah.
No. Anyone who gets hurt, probably Maff's favourite.
Yeah. Baron Corbin, I said hello to him, and he's very nice and polite at the NXT and Newcastle show. He was the only guy to fuck up at the NXT takeover.
Like
several days later.
Oh, no.
I'm like, that. I did that.
That was your fault.
Listen, poor Baron
God
Corbin.
Bless you.
Up the Corbin.
Up the Corbin. Right up the Corbin.
All right. So that was two lovely
so,
things.
So thank you. Classic at cultaholic.com. If you'd like to send anything in to the mailbag next week. Or the week after, sorry. See, I can't even remember my own admin. Week after next, we're back. This is the part where I give you some of the wrestling highlights.
Yay.
For the news this week. Man, this month is really, really rough for wrestling deaths. So I don't like to start on a sour, dour note, but here we are. So in the space of the same like 4 or 5 days, we lose Eric Kulas, age 22, a.k.a. Mass Transit. The victim of one of the ugliest incidents in modern day pro wrestling history. I think it's still up there as
absolutely
one of the most.
He's one of the funniest. Grimmest. Yes, yes.
We would have talked about it on a Classic Raw review a few years back, but obviously this is the kid who went, I want to wrestle, I'll jump in tonight, I'm trained, I'm old enough. And New Jack just guts him like a fish.
New Jack, can you get me colour? Oh, yeah.
Oh, I'll get your colour.
Oh, right. You little fuck.
Yeah. So on the 14th of May, he passed away at his home in Cranston, the coroner's office, awaiting test results at this particular time. But he hadn't been very well in the run-up to his death. And so... It's still horrible. At 22.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah, well, it being morbidly obese probably had something to do with it. As many people like hear, like, oh, did New Jack kill Mass Transit? I'm like, no, he didn't.
No, it was a slow bleed to death over many years, if that was the case. But no, he...
It was so big, he could have bled to death since that incident, and it would have taken 6 years.
It would have taken 6 years for it to move through the system. Yeah. Oh, God, that's a horrible thought. But
that was a horrible thought.
Sorry. That's all right.
I'll move on, Matt. You know, Matthew, you're smiling too hard here. Sorry.
That's fine. Mass Transit passed away on the 14th of May. On the 16th of May, we lose Alex Rizzo, a.k.a. Big Dick Dudley.
Oh.
34.
Inch pythons, brother.
Oh, ages on earth, brother. Apparent kidney failure, they say. He was with his wife at the time.
He was a lecturer, I think.
I think he went on to teach and work in education, but obviously he was synonymous as Big Dick Dudley in ECW and XPW, one of the original Dudley family members, so he passed away this week.
Mm.
May 17th, Davey Boy Smith.
Oh!
The British Bulldog.
Fuck.
39 years old, vacationing in Invermere, British Columbia, with his girlfriend Andrea, the wife of his brother-in-law Bruce Hart. Well, no cause of death confirmed at time of writing. It is believed to have been a massive heart attack. I believe that will be what the answer is. The Observer says Smith was no longer a legal member of the Hart family, having divorced Stu's daughter Diana and taken up with Bruce's wife Andrea.
Oh, I hadn't thought about that like that.
Yeah, so
yeah, you no longer remember. Oh.
Well, yeah, because if you're divorced from the family, you're no longer part of the family.
Yeah.
Smith is survived by his ex-wife, Diana, his son, Harry, his daughter, Georgia. Smith wanted to wrestle all his life in a tag team match with his son.
Hmm.
And it was ended up being one of the, if not the last match that he had. It was 2 weeks before his death at a Stampede show in Winnipeg. It was indeed his last match. Now, I know if you listen to the Classic Review series that British Bulldog has been and will probably continue to be at different points a bit of a meme for us. And I do, however, want to take a little moment, a little bubble to kind of celebrate him because we take the piss a lot.
Oh, yeah.
I do want to take a moment on this particular episode to celebrate how iconic British Bulldog is to me as a wrestling fan, to have somebody that was, you know, was British on the roster, an English guy on the roster, was really special. I remember watching that battle royal at the Royal Albert Hall and the energy in the room when Bulldog won the thing. SummerSlam at Wembley, you can't have that event without Bulldog in the main with Brett. Mm. You absolutely can't. Obviously, he was effed, as we've discussed. But regardless, such an energy, such a persona, and gone, oh my God, far too soon. What's a favourite moment of the Bulldog's career for you?
Favourite moment?
A favourite moment of Bulldog's career.
That's not SummerSlam 92. Play on hard mode.
You can play on hard mode if you want to.
Damn, that's a bitch. The feud he had with Vader in WCW.
Nice.
Where it's like, no, he's an honest to God, like, proper main eventer.
Mm.
He could do it. I mean, if he kept away from a microphone. He was like, yeah, hey, I'm just going to do it with me stalling suplex to Vader. Does it? You're like, fucking hell. Let me do my running power slam. You're like, geez, you are half man, half steroid at this point. So, yeah. But, yeah. And then, like, we end up celebrating the crap with wrestling, as you say it. So, I do remember him getting more fun out of him throwing a bin at Steph.
Yeah, there is that, which is something we've mentioned recently as well. The throwing of the bin.
You got that a title shot.
Yeah. But, anyway, there's so many key moments in wrestling that he is always around. And, yeah. We remember him fondly in this little bubble. He will go back to being a meme because, you know, that's, you know, it's not like he passed away 20 years ago. So it's not like it's a surprise that he's gone now. Mm. But I did want to take a moment on this particular episode to go, cheers, Dave. Cheers, Davey boy. Thanks for the memories. In jeans
Thank
or
you.
Otherwise.
We'll give you 7 days out of respect.
Yes. Out of respect. Out of respect, no podcast next week.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go. We'll fly the Union Jack at half mast for you for 2 weeks.
Rip Davey, you would have loved the plane ride from hell.
Oh my God, he would have done, wouldn't he? Jeez.
See, Dustin Reynolds was singing, like, serenading his ex-wife. Do you think Bulldog was trying to sing, like, Rule Britannia? Or...
Snatching the...
He doesn't know the words.
We went 3.5 minutes without making a fucking joke about Bulldog. 3.5
Tom, in fairness, I didn't say what I'm not. Some people are thinking of because his last words were, I'm fucked.
I really tried. House show business is in the shitter.
Because Davey Boy's not there. Right? Davey Boy. Just Hogan. Just Boo, on, you fucking suck. Where's Davey own. Boy?
On his own. The British made Hulk Hogan. I'll be America's hero and Britain's hero. Raw was in Louisville, Kentucky on Friday with a half full arena. Ooh. Because this is sometimes what happens with wrestling. It's cyclical. And a card that didn't really resonate with people because it featured... I mean, it had some good people on it. You had Eddie Guerrero and Rob Van Dam in there. You had Brock Lesnar versus D'Lo Brown.
No one needed, are you laughing?
Well, needed that. The Hardy Boys versus Goldust and Planet Stasiak. Like, oh gosh, we need something to pad the crowd. Can we send out Rob Conway and Nick Dinsmore to defend the OVW tag team titles
You're
against
kidding.
Doug Basham and Damager?
Wow.
Mm-hmm. With a running from Johnny Spade, which I'm sure everybody was buzzing about.
Johnny Spade? Johnny the Bull?
No, Johnny Spade, i.e. Johnny Nitro, Johnny TV, Johnny Mundo.
Johnny Spade?
He was Johnny Spade at first.
Oh.
Yeah.
I don't dig that. Go on.
And the main event was Austin beating the Big Show and Ric Flair in a handicap cage match. Oof. There you go. On the 18th, they were in Raleigh, North Carolina with another, quote, miserable crowd that featured Bull Buchanan beating Ron Waterman. Yay. Pretty much the same run of other matches, including Stevie Richards and Bubba Ray, William Regal and Spike Dudley, Undertaker and Bradshaw and Steve Austin beating Ric Flair and The Big Show. In a 3-on-2 handicap match, because that's the right way around for baddies. The SmackDown crew, meanwhile, were doing stuff in Georgia. Again, a half-full building with a third of the crowd leaving during intermission, according to the Wrestling Observer. and it featured matches with, like, Deacon Dave Batista getting a singles match and battering Hugh Morris. Billy Kidman and Randy Orton teaming up against the Big Valvoski and Mark Henry. Shannon Moore beating Jamie Knoble, as he's listed here.
That's right,
we haven't got Country Bumpkin Jamie Knoble yet. A Georgia street fight between Farouk and Test. Jericho and Rikishi one-on-one. That's a very rare match that we would hardly ever see. And Edge and Kurt Angle in the main event in a one-fall-to-a-finish match, which apparently is different to a normal match, but it's not. It's not. We're going through a change, aren't we?
Literally starting from with new rosters, so it's not surprising.
Yeah, but
take a while to get there.
But it was shit last year before the new rosters, so it's shitter now. So that you're kind of starting on a very low keel, and you're going even lower to all the, you know, we're where we are now. They're about to do WrestleMania in front of 120,000 people, so right. I think they're going to be fine.
Yeah, we're not even a month into this.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe it's 1 month. I don't know. Yeah,
we're about a month into it.
So I'm sorry, instant success isn't happening.
But don't worry, because new blood is coming in. He's coming home. He's coming home. He's coming. Mean Gene's coming home. Oh. He's coming home. Gene Okerlund heading back to the WWE to host a brand new show called WWE Confidential.
Oh, he's coming home. That's weird. AWA closed up shop 20 years ago.
His real home is the World Wrestling Federation. It's going to be like basically sort of WWE doing its own dirt sheet stuff.
That would be a fascinating TV show.
It would become a fascinating show, and it would be a real case of WWE truly rewriting history in some cases.
Yeah. And having to write history as it's happening, like with the Steve Austin situation, which I'm sure we'll get to soon.
Mm-hmm. And finally, Jeff Jarrett's been doing the media rounds this week for the launch of his brand new promotion, NWA TNA.
Nah, never last.
Brian Alvarez thinks that as well. He said he was on our Sunday night show. While I didn't leave the interview thinking the concept had any chance of success, didn't think it would be a monumental disaster, as I did when Jeremy Borash talked about it with us the week prior. All right, dickhead. So he's selling the idea of bringing making a raunchy wrestling product that is week to week, with Vince Russo on the books as well. And they also announced during this interview Ed Ferrara and Don West as the commentary team. And Jeremy, and again, to use the write-up from the Figure Four Weekly, Brian Alvarez says, they announced Ed Ferrara, Oklahoma, and Don West, a pitch man for the Shop at Home Network, seriously. They would be two of the three men on the announced team. I don't know who the third guy is yet. It'll end up being Mike Tenay, which is a good shout. But it's funny because is that little shitty, salty comment towards Don West. He would be fucking great for the company.
He would.
He would be fantastic. Now,
Ferrara wouldn't.
No, Ferrara wouldn't so much. I imagine you look at that team and you think, oh, Ferrara's a good shout. I don't know who Don West is. And you go, wrong way around.
Ed Ferrara, former writer of the Adventures of Sonic the Hedgehog cartoon.
He is, isn't he?
And Duckman. But and that's why Sonic the Hedgehog, more importantly.
That's all the news that is the news.
Wow, what a hell of an intro to a podcast. Jesus Christ.
On to SmackDown.
It's the best of times, the blurst of times.
It is the blurst of times.
And it's a live feed episode, courtesy of Warlad Richard Land and his Fish and Chips Patreon.
Thank you, Richard Land.
Politely plug, as he's been bugging me for ages. And I went, all right, fine, you know.
Have we not plugged Richard Land for ages?
We've plugged him. Hey, oh. Hey. But it's just yeah, just making sure people know that live feeds are available and being unearthed all the time. That's why we don't have all these.
Do you want to give out his link nice and clear of this bit so we can send some people his way?
Yeah, just Google Richard Land Patreon.
There we go. Easy money. Cheers, Richard.
R-I-C-H. Ha-ha. A-R-D. Space. L-A-N. Ha-ha. D. So we're in Montreal, Quebec. What are you laughing for? At the Bell Center. Le Bon. Raymond Rougeau shows up to warm the crowd by speaking en français. I didn't pick it all up because obviously Nana Sprechen Sie Deutsch. But he says at the end, WWF, which I guess is French for WWB. And I guess they're being very polite going, that's what it's called now, all right, guys?
Wouldn't if be F?
Double E.
If.
WWF.
Oh, it is E. That's fine then. I thought you got it
wrong. WWF. It says right here, oof, all right?
Or double, double.
I wrote it.
Double, double egg.
As Raymond Michaud would say, oof. Christian defeated Sylvain Grenier. Dark match. Christian shows up with rival hockey team jersey. I put hockey time there. That's not how it works, Matthew. One that has no name or town on it, so I wasn't able to decipher who it was. The crowd recognize it, and they laboo. Sylvian, who has the name Sly, I guess he's got the stones for it. Throws it to the floor and busts out a blind leapfrog to a nice pop. Ooh. Christian gets all the heat. This turns out it was a surprisingly hard-fought battle with Christian kicking out of a top rope drop kick and Sly kicking out with a reverse DDT. I'd say it was a sign of things to come, but I remember how bad Sylvian was full-time. Then Christian wins.
Ah, it's a shame if you look that good in the dark match.
Exactly. I think it was just all Christian there.
Yeah.
And then we get...
Was it like a Tom McGee moment?
Yes, I'd say so. But sadly, we get hyped for this. And anyway, we've got all that to look for. Oh, no, we don't. It's a Raw thing, isn't it? Ha ha.
Yes.
Get fucked, Bischoff. And then we get Sin, as in a.k.a. Kazani.
Nice!
Versus a dude called Flash Gordon. I'm like, hang on. That's already a very copyrighted thing, but
Flash
it's a dark
Gordon.
Match.
Gordon?
Kazani lands a really bad leapfrog that the crowd boo. He gets them back with a suplex where he lands on his feet and then neckbreakers them for two. They completely mess up an entire segment with the crowd booing loud. A backdrop is counted into a suplex as the cameraman can be heard laughing. Crowds really start booing as Flash falls over from a random punch flurry for no reason. They fuck up something else before a full Nelson swinging bomb ends it and the crowd ironically cheers it being over. Fucking yikes. I found nothing about who this Flash Gordon guy is.
Now,
it's definitely the Quebec wrestler Sin. I didn't wrestle, it was Canadian.
Amazingly, there were two Flash Gordons.
They're all like from the 70s, right?
It's
the dude who, I have no idea who this dude is. I hope he retired after this. He is rough.
Yeah, that's, they both.
And Sin's not exactly a ring general in 2002 anyway, so.
That's a strange one.
The blind leading the blind. Crowd were, disgustingly negative towards this. And then Al Snow and Mark Roy, I put, aka Tom's friend, head to the ring.
Mark Lloyd!
That says it, Mark Roy.
It's Mark Lloyd!
We'll see about that.
So much shit. One day he's going to come on here and fucking have your life, mate. I can manifest
this
shit.
It's a long flight from Quebec City to here. I'll be gone by then.
Fucking Mark Roy.
Mark Roy Lloyd, head to the ring. You could call him Mark and you could call him Lloyd. With Al Snow getting his theme and a big pop and Mark Roy Lloyd getting Limp Bizkit's My Way.
As he should.
What the fuck? Tony Chimmel announces Al Snow as the old pro.
The old pro.
So they got on the headsets and Al says he's happy with the pop he got. There's hope for him yet. He didn't hear Tony call him the old pro and says he's been chasing through the crowd every night. And that's the headset. Can I do that tonight? He gets a no.
Aww.
Then for Jacked, Albert defeats Hugh Morris. Snow tells Mark how quickly Hugh used to move around in the ring in Japan. Decent big man action with Al mostly having a conversation with Mark about what would be good to call when they do the commentary proper. Yeah, really. The fan goes, Al! And Al goes, what? He goes, you rock! Al goes, that's nice, but I'm working.
So they're doing comms, but they're not
doing
comms.
Oh, yeah, to clarify, it's weird. They get down and go, hey, they're doing the commentary, and they do some of the plugs midway through to be shown at ringside, but they don't do the commentary.
That's interesting.
Because I guess they have to be shown there because they'll be doing it for the international markets, and they need to know what's airing after that, and they go, you know, like for Channel 4, like it was Al Snow and I forget who it was, maybe Coachman for the Channel 4 version of Sunday Night Heat. So they'd be, you know, they'd be like, oh, this match is almost as hot as the brand new Eurotrash happening later on Channel 4 and stuff like that. So
and
I guess
also,
they get to do all the local stuff like that.
And it'll air after SmackDown, so they can't really reference what happened on SmackDown yet because it hasn't happened yet.
Yeah. It's an interesting setup.
Yeah, and it also explains why, as a youngster, when I watched Metal, you'd hear the commentary, but sometimes you'd see the commentators at the corner of your eye, and they'd be talking, but their mouths wouldn't be moving. Yeah. That's why.
Yeah.
Well, learning day.
Yeah. The Godfather defeats Funaki. Godfather is almost working heel the amount of offense he gets from Funaki. Wins with a sweet doctor bomb into a shoulder breaker variant. Al is curious as to why the fans stand up for the start of the match, then sit down during it, then stand up for the finish. Like church.
They get excited.
Yeah. Billy Kidman defeats Chavo. They bust out some nice moves, but neither are established much, so the crowd chant boring midway through. You can't powerbomb Billy Kidman, wins it, and then Chavo yells at a front row fan afterwards.
Oh, I thought that was a chant then. You can't powerbomb Billy Kidman.
It's the name of a move. Test and Christian defeat Farouk and Mark Henry. Henry tags in, so Christian goes to tag in Test, who starts doing his shoelaces and pretends not to see Christian. This is solid stuff until Henry, with Henry being treated like a world beater, until Farouk gets hit by an interfering Godfather. They're beefing? I have no memory of that. Well, that's just a feud for Jacked.
Must have been.
Taz and Cole do their checks now, as Taz reveals he's wearing his Fruit of the Looms. You know, the one with the apple guy on it. Taz seems seems happy with the crowd tonight, with an arena, quote, full of Canadians. And we get the recap of Triple H holding his own against five fucking dudes before Jericho blasts Triple H with a chair and bleeds him. Later on, Jericho smashes Triple H and causes him to lose to Devon Dudley after some more bleeding.
Good old Triple H putting the youngsters over.
So naturally, Triple H uses a sledgehammer on Jericho in the main event and on Hogan, on Edge, and Kurt Angle too. Vince distracts Triple H so Jericho can blast Triple H yet again for even more bleeding. Wow, this almost looked like a fair fight in recap form. the power of editing. But tonight, Stacy versus Tori in a swimsuit contest. And that's it.
What more do you need?
Oh, no, it isn't. Here's Triple H to make his full entrance. So if you've got the Gorman Hart series, you can start reading it now. Gorman Hart, what did I come up with that? Triple H finally gets here 7 minutes into the show, and boy, are the crowd happy to see him. Like, genuinely. Triple H recaps everything we just recapped, then tells us, you think Jericho can just hit me and knock me down, and I'm just going to stay there? I'm going to get back up again. You can never knock me down. Pissing the night away.
Did you hear, as he was doing this whole spiel, where he was like, I'm not going to curl my tail up and scurry off. At one point, there's a pause and there's a silence. You just hear someone clear as a bell go, you suck! Stone Cold Triple H.
I am beloved everywhere I go.
You suck!
That was Martha Hart.
It was very... It was very Bobby Fish, where's the lie?
Importantly, Triple H keeps mentioning Vince and not Jericho, who can't be the focus in any feud that involves Triple H. Triple H vows to carry Jericho through hell in Judgment Day this Sunday, so tonight can be purgatory. Instead of purgatory, though, Edge comes out. He said they should be mates. He recorded that song for him when he was injured. It was a beautiful day. That didn't happen. Edge is a member of the new band, you two. Shut up, idiot. That joke sucked.
You suck!
Edge points out that Triple H hit everyone with a sledgehammer last week. Edge says, we're supposed to be good guys. We're not supposed to have issues. But I don't give a crap. Ooh. Edge wants to play the game. Cruelly stealing test gimmick. Triple H insists that he's many things. Bilingual is not one of them. But a good guy is not one of them. And they come to blows. So, like dummies, Kurt and Jericho run out to attack both of them. Yeah, when they're both attacking one another, now's the time to attack them so they're united against you. Anyway, at least Kurt and Jericho have reasons to beat down Triple H. Kurt cuts a bit of Edge's hair off before Triple H recovers first, because of course he does. And the bad guys walk away smiling.
So that's the key some takeaways from this is, oh wow, Trips and Edge squaring off.
Mm.
So if you ever had any, if you had any lingering doubt that WWE wanted to get behind Edge as your next top guy, you've got him going nose to nose with Triple H.
Well, not exactly nose to nose. It's not a fair fight.
It's low hanging fruit. But they end up brawling, and Edge looks good in there. It looks pretty cool seeing Edge and Triple H brawling, yeah. And then Angle lobbing off a bit of Edge's hair,
nice.
and carrying it throughout the night like a trophy.
Yeah,
I thought was a really nice touch as well. Really like that.
He should have gotten a Lance Storm rat tail.
It did look like a Lance Storm rat tail, didn't it?
Kurt had any hair at the back of his head to do that.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side?
helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature, Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Meanwhile, backstage, we look at the mailbag and see who we've got for this week's installment of Replacing Vince.
So, if this is your first time here, thank you for coming in. So, what we do is, because of all the allegations and such around Vince McMahon, what we're doing is, as he's so prevalent in the SmackDown episodes in 2002, every week we replace him.
While being a big creep.
Yes. Well, yeah, there's that. And whilst being the things that the allegations are going on about, we're replacing him with a villain or a character from elsewhere. So we have asked you, classic at cultaholic.com, to email and send us who you think Vince should be replaced by. And this week it comes from Lloyd Davis in Crawley.
Oh, Mark Roy Lloyd Davis.
First time writer into the classic reviews. I have a villain for you to replace Vince with. My choice is Gold Ducat from Matthew's beloved Star Trek Deep Space Nine.
Yes! Oh, my God.
Keep up the magnificent work, Lloyd and Crawley. Thank you, Lloyd.
You're my favourite dude ever, Mark. I will say now, your name properly.
Did I pronounce that correctly?
Gold Ducat. Yes, you
Gold
did.
Gold Ducat. Now, I am not familiar with the Star Wars lore. So when it comes to impressions of Gold Ducat, I'm just going to have to trust you. I can have a guess. Hello, my name is Gold Ducat. Meow, meow, meow. I'm Gold Ducat. Does he have like a little bowl of milk?
Oh, Ducat. Oh, for fuck's sake.
Does he knock shit off the table?
I've only just got that.
Does he knock the shit off the table?
For someone else in Deep Space Nine.
Woof, woof, meow, meow.
I'm Gold Ducat.
I'm Gold Ducat and I'm here to say.
Yeah, you know what? Yeah, the critically acclaimed Deep Space Nine is all about a big cat. Shut up.
I'm Gold Ducat and I'm here to say, got a bag of dreamers, get out of my way.
Gold Ducat. See, Deep Space Nine is all based
around... Is it like Doja Cat?
Yeah. Just talk over him. Right, the background
is
of the...
Is it Klingon or not?
No, he's a Cardassian.
He's a Cardassian!
He is, don't have a man.
Racist. That's, you know, after they've done nothing but commit war crimes, but now the war's over, it's like, we're friends now, but like... They still have the attitude, Gold Ducat especially, is we did nothing wrong. It's why it's a fucking great show.
Mm.
But Gold Ducat shows up. Gold Ducat's thing is, all right, again, not to
the I want to find out the lore before
Gold Ducat makes a few appearances to begin with, but he's performed so well by the actor, Mark, I forget his surname.
Mark Lloyd.
Yeah, sure. He started getting lots of fan mail, like, of praise and stuff like that. Oh. And the writers are like, oh, he's supposed to be this, like, mixture of emotions, but he is, at the end of the day, a prick, an evil prick. So they had to, do a quick, like, oh, this guy's being cheered. Oh, so, like, he has this one episode where he's just like, oh, I wish I could have killed them all. Basically admits it. Like, it's all a facade. And it's like, oh, phew, because it's like sexy war criminal, Gold Ducat.
So they choose not to lean into it and babyface him. They just try to double down on the heel for Gold Ducat.
They did later on, yeah. But to begin with, it's just this, you know, sexy villain with these massive shoulders.
Sexy villain, yep. Gold Ducat.
Yeah, so that's what works really well here, yeah. So sexy Gold Ducat is really happy seeing Stacy's swimsuit, but wants a sneak peek for himself.
Pervert.
Stacy naturally shows Gold Ducat a sneak peek, but he wants to nuzzle the little puppies. And I put, oh God, why do straight men talk like that?
Who wrote this segment? Oh, Gold Ducat wrote this.
Gold Ducat wrote this.
Funny that. So what's going to happen is I want to head on your breasts.
That's a good impression, Gold Ducat.
Is that Gold Ducat?
Gold Ducat. Attention, Bajoran
warriors. Meow, meow, meow.
I need to nuzzle puppies. Then Jogo and Kurt barge in, all happy and excited like little bairns. So Gold Ducat makes it a main event tag team match because he has the power of Cardassia to do that. Kurt says, bye, Stacy, and leaves. I put the exact same shit as we saw last week, to be fair.
The running gag is Goldacat every time he's about to do something particularly, every time he's going to get to like second or third base with Stacey.
Every time he's about to
somebody runs in.
Every time he's about to have a little old war crime. Yeah. Oh, it's Kurt and Jericho. Womp womp.
I've not done anything wrong. Yes, you have.
On the live feed, Lance does a promo for the live crowd and tells the fans he's ashamed to be a Canadian because they've lost so bad at the hockey. Which wouldn't have happened with the English-speaking Canadians, which makes the crowd boo him. This is a lovely little setup for the live-only people to make sure he's booed in his homeland. It's nice to see it's as easy to get booed in a place like Quebec than it is like in England.
I mean, I get that you want to just be sure, but I think Lance Storm is so far down the pecking order that I don't think there'd be any reaction for him.
That's local, lad.
I know, but even so...
Kind of, Quebec, well, it's kind of, isn't it?
Because I thought the Edge got a nice reaction, but I don't think it felt like a bigger ovation than normal.
Again, it's Quebec, though, isn't it?
La Resistance,
that's as shit as they were, the pops for them when they were in Quebec...
Oh, really?
Oh, my God. I mean, we won't get to see them, but if you ever bored, go look at YouTube. It's like, it sounds like Austin. Honestly, it's like you're going, really, for these guys? Because it's representation... Is important.
I guess it's, and you know,
even the shit Quebec people are like, yay!
I know you're saying like it's different for Edge who's from Quebec, you know, but the modern day equivalent I can think of is Drew McIntyre, homecoming hero in Cardiff.
Right. Well, we'll
see
about
that. Similar dichotomy.
Sure, but it's still this part of the world. It's closer to this part of the world than it is bloody America, isn't it?
So. Very true.
Anyway, here's rubbish Lance Storm and his rubbish dial-up music. Cole thinks Storm is miserable. Taz says that's what he likes about him. Here's Hardcore Hollywood team up with Lance because last week, special guest ref helped Lance beat Randy, but Venus made the save for reasons. So tonight, it's Orton and Venus. Venus has red and black tights compared to his classic colours. I hate it. They look cack. Why have they messed with everyone's colours?
Main event pants, Big Valboski. Either to me. They're trying to shake up Val Venus to the point where he's not Val Venus anymore. He's the Big Val Boski.
I wouldn't shake him. I know where he's been. Oh, you all right? Tom's death rattle make a cameo appearance. For him, all those noises, wait till Tom does the Great North Run.
Stick
a microphone in front of his face.
Somebody was joking at North on the weekend. They said, I'm really excited for somebody from the BBC to kind of catch you three quarters of the way around the Great North Road and try and interview you. And this lovely positive facade just drains away, going, leave me the fuck alone. This is a terrible fucking idea.
Tom, what's your favourite Sonic? Fuck Sonic.
Fucking Shadow the Hedgehog. Fuck off.
Deep Space Nine's for weirdos.
Meow, meow, I'm Goldacat.
And you get a cat now and call it Goldacat.
Oh, please get
ruin that name for me.
Would you get a cat?
No. On the newbie is here to immediately get clotheslined by Hardcore Holly.
That's the end of that anecdote.
Randy Orton at least takes Holly's shot, then gives it back to him. Holly delivers his Hall of Fame dropkick to Orton. Venus tags in for, I guess, a hot tag, complete with, make some noise for me poses. Orton's crossbody can't pin Lance, but the overdrive makes its SmackDown TV debut.
Yeah! This move gets passed around to a couple of people, but this is Randy Orton's first finisher. You can see why eventually he went with the RKO, because the overdrive is complicated as fuck.
Yeah.
And it looks
would do it.
Shit.
Bobby Roode had it for a bit. MVP.
MVP had it. Who else had the overdrive?
I suppose a few other people.
Yeah, but definitely those three.
Yeah.
It's a shit move.
Hardcore Holly breaks it up. Yeah, thanks. I said they debuted the move and it didn't finish. Smashing. Orton lands a super kick but gets a cocky pin. Except Orton rolls him up. Maybe for grab a tight, maybe not. Wow. They won.
Yeah.
How can Lance and Holly recover? Match was very Ron Seal. An epic 2:16 encounter.
I don't think they were tight. Storm was complaining about tights, but I think that was just him being a heel. I think Orton just won very fairly with a roll up.
Like I said, it's not much now, but like I said, we are building. We're in a stage of rebuilding.
Yes, we are.
Yeah, it'll get there, obviously, for Randy Orton. I don't know if you heard this little known superstar.
He'll do all right.
No. Recap from Raw.
This is the only time I'm really sad that we're missing Raw.
Oh my God.
We've got the best bit here.
You may remember from last week, one of the most famous botches from this period of Monday Night Raw, Hogan steals Undertaker's bike, and then it stutters and he can't quite get it up anymore. Well,
we've all been there.
Not to be outdone, This week, Hogan is being interviewed by Coachman backstage. Hogan, for reasons not given, is wearing a shiny biker helmet over his do-rag, as well as biker leather.
Because he's just coming on his bike. And because he's a babyface, it's like, I want to wear my helmet, brother.
Safety first, brother.
Safety first, brother.
Then Undertaker tire irons Hogan, or as Americans say it, tires, and attaches Hogan to his bike and drags him through the corridors. Not unlike he's on a little bit of a wheel or something.
This looks really
And it looks ridiculous by itself as they like, meow, and then they just drive back and there's Hogan being dragged. It looks a lot of fun, if I'm being honest.
It actually looks fun.
But
you could sell that as like an experience day.
You could.
Get dragged around by the Undertaker.
Then, again, there can only end one way, which is in every TV chase since the 70s, he lands through a pile of cardboard boxes that are just stacked in a corridor someplace. And then Undertaker's like, ha ha, maybe you'll think twice about messing with my bike. And you're like, This is supposed to be serious?
There's plenty more boxes where that came from.
No, not the cardboard boxes, brother. Anything but that. So then Hogan, they show this, like, that happened on Raw. So on SmackDown tonight, Hogan shows up limping in full red and yellow gear. And I had to pause just to laugh my ass off. Like, oh, no.
My notes say, Hogan arrived limping like a bitch.
Fucking hilarious. They one-up themselves.
That segment. So it's clear that Hogan was wearing the helmet because he was about to do this spot where he was going to get dragged around by the Undertaker's bike. So obviously, protect your head, love. It kind of, you know, like when Ultimate Warrior got hit with the painting and he came out wearing a baseball cap. Like, it kind of telegraphs some shit was about to go down because Hogan never wears a crash helmet. But it was fucking funny. It was, for me, there was a few bits that I had to, as you did, pause and laugh. It was Hogan being interviewed looking really sad wearing the helmet.
It's just a funny image.
It was the whoosh down the corridor.
Whee!
Top speed. Like, if any, like, and it was, then it was his sad face as he came in limping. Surely the biggest issue you're going to have from what happened to you on Raw, isn't a bad leg. It's fucking carpet burn. Like, seriously, if you were being dragged along on your back across a carpeted area, it's going to rip your back to pieces. I wanted Hogan to walk in holding his back going, oh, you bastard. Rather than limping.
I wanted Hogan choke going, the only thing that's hurt is my pride, brother.
Yeah.
Because again, him selling it. Oh, those cardboard boxes. The world heavyweight champion of the world. Dragged down in a scene that would have been played on a good episode of the Chuckle Brothers with banjo music.
Hey, Barry, I'm just going to go and move the bike. Oh, no, Paul.
Watch out for that rope.
My foot's around the rope. No, Paul.
Oh, bug me.
Chuckle vision. Chuckle vision.
Oh, dear.
Hey, Barry, where you gone?
There's a bowling pin sound effect as he hits 19 cardboard boxes.
I love when WWF shoot for serious and they just end up in bollocks.
The complete opposite. The best. Week to week.
Shoot for the drama. If you miss, you'll land in comedy.
As the expression goes, yeah. Tori is walking backstage, thankfully better than Hogan. Maven hits on her. She's like, all right. The dialogue in this show is from Harvest Moon. You go up to a girl and you press A. Reverend Devon shows up, the lecture maven, thinking about all those impure thoughts on that bleach blonde Jezebel. Al Snow appears to defend Maven, and Rev is like, no problems. And Al Snow is doing a, is there a problem here? And Reverend Devon's like, Al Snow,
this is
no problems here.
This is quite a funny bit of subterfuge, because he went, Al's, there any problems here? And Devon's like, no, I was just wishing Maven good luck tonight from the church. And Al was like, oh, thanks, mate, that's great. What a nice man.
Deacon Batista should go, ah, oh.
I do love Deacon
Batista. Zoinks!
Fucking Batista running away from Al Snow. What a time we are in. I think probably Batista's probably forgot what he had to do.
Batista in the background doing Latin.
My script says punch Al, and I've got a few questions.
You know, it's Al Snow, right? I can't hit him.
So which one's Al Snow?
He's my friend.
And what's a punch?
Can I hit Mark Roy Lloyd?
Leave him alone.
This segment is followed by Gregory Helms interviewing Funaki. Gregory is investigating the evil notes being left in his locker room. And Funaki does have evil on his shirt. Funaki doesn't know what he's talking about, but bends over, and there's another note on his back. Helms grabs it and reads it. It's a threat tonight about winning the Cruiserweight title. Helms gets ready to do the hurricane jump off, but stops himself, because he realises, oh, I'm in disguise, and gives a polite nod to Funaki before exiting.
I quite like that.
I thought this was really decent character work and keeping the SmackDown universe alive, making these characters be memorable. Sometimes the right reasons, sometimes the wrong reasons.
I liked it. I like Gregory Helms, ace reporter for the Daily Globe. It's a nice little touch, that, as a character. I don't remember if we get a... I don't remember if we get a payoff to this.
I can't remember either. Let's watch SmackDown next week and
find
out.
I think we'll have to find out as we go.
Meanwhile, Jericho's interviewed by Tom's mate.
Mark Lloyd. His name's Mark Lloyd.
Mark the cat. Jericho mocks the idea of everyone thinking Triple H is going to destroy Jericho, the gum-chewing rock star. Jericho spits his gum out, making him just a rock star, I guess. He blames us for all the times he's hurt Jericho. What? He blames us all for the times he's hurt Jericho over the walls.
I presume he hurt Triple H.
Yeah, that makes more sense. Including the time he was injured for months. Hey, that was him, wasn't it? I actually forgot it. That was actually Jericho who did that. Too little, too late for Jericho. But if he runs, Jericho can still get some bruising berry. Collect the cup. WWE 7-Eleven. Drink shit, Americans.
Same advert as last... Oh, no, it's a different advert to last week.
A slightly different one.
Because this is with a geeky fan who's like... was RVD hits on his girlfriend. The geeky fan's like, oh, no, Rob, would
can
you
I
like,
watch?
Do you want a drink as well, Rob? Fucking prick. I think that WWE might have got a little bit of a telling off potentially from UPN here because they made a little bit of a slip up. Because, you know, that first hour is meant to be very sort of family friendly. They showed a shot of Triple H with blood dripping down his face. And... then, with after about 4 or 5 seconds, they cut it to black and white.
I thought that was just an aesthetic choice. Cause it doesn't
no,
look nice,
I have a feeling it was...
maybe.
I feel like it was meant to be black and white because you can weirdly, you can get away with showing blood in black and white.
Yeah, it's funny that.
Yeah.
Because it could just be bruising berry.
It could just be bruising berry.
You don't know. You were there.
Down the face of Rob Van Dam wearing his singlet and jeans.
Yeah, fucking people's wives in front of them.
Fucking people's wives. They go, oh, come got you a drink, Rob.
Good money if you can get it. T-Von Dudley speaks God stuff in the ring and tells people to give money if they want to be saved. I like how he talks. I just feel like he should be given better stuff.
Yes.
T-Von Dudley versus Maven is next. Maven heads out as crowd chants for tables. Not exactly current affairs, are you, Canada? T-Von doesn't do that anymore. T-Von misses a second rope elbow drop, but kicks out of a small package and schoolboy. Batista distracts, so Rev lands a low blow. So sets up the saving grace elevated reverse DDT. As Cole yells, there should be another commandment. Thou shalt not hit below the belt. I mean, it is in the rules.
Yeah, it doesn't need to be a commandment.
Thou shalt not get caught. Al tries to save, but he's Al Snow. So Batista slams the collection box onto his head. No, not that one, his actual head. Cole points out Batista is not a choir boy. Another epic 1 minute 54 here. That didn't feel that short.
It didn't feel as short as it actually was. I like that D-Von's finisher now has a name. He's been doing that move for years.
He has, but I didn't have a name for it.
No, no one had a name for it until he became the Reverend, and now it's the Saving Grace. Did you see the guy getting told off in the crowd on the hard cam?
No.
There was a guy who, I think it was during D-Von's opening lecture, where he has a lighter and he holds up a naked flame, and you see a security guard with his back to the show, sort of pointing at it, and he puts it out.
Put that big lighter away.
Put that big lighter away. Eh?
Quebec Stadium, famously made out of wood.
Yeah, that's it. They're like, shit, someone's gonna, this place is going to go up if you're not careful.
Take this gimmick seriously. I'll do that at church. Hell, man. I'm playing Iron Butterfly. But the... as I put there, D-Von kicking out of a schoolboy. I don't see many of that in the church. Oh, so...
Okay.
last week, Panasonic eWare was plugged by Taz, and Taz went, it's Panasonic eWare. Sounded like an old auntie. This is elaborated. As Stacey is backstage, checking herself out, only human, when a dwarf pops out and yells, E! Oh, that was the advertising campaign for the short-lived, failed idea, the battle with the iPod.
The Panasonic eWare.
That's right, like the Jaguar beefing with PlayStation. He's been sent by Panasonic eWare Recorder. He has spiky hair and a goatee and is a pervert. It's 2002.
Basically, yeah.
Yeah, the eWare had malware.
Hey!
No, it really did.
So you're right. So this was E-Man, who was...
Oh, fuck off. His name was called E-Man?
He was called E-Man. His name was actually E-Man. And he was the mascot for eWare, for Panasonic eWare. He was in a series of commercials for eWare where he would be hanging... Like, he hid in a newspaper box. He hid in a toilet cubicle. And when something crazy happened, he burst. I went, you should have filmed that, you twat, with one of these... and it was a camera that was also an MP3 player. And as you say, it was meant to be like an iPod beta.
Yeah, a PC destroyer.
It was shit. So these adverts came out. Fun fact, the eWare adverts, which feature E-Man doing all these wacky things, directed by Kevin Smith. As in Jay and Silent Bob, okay. Kevin Smith. He was very excited to direct these adverts. So if you watch the adverts, they're directed by Kevin Smith.
It's not quite Orson Welles doing... champagne, is it?
It's not really. What was it? But you can watch a little Wine, mini. You can watch a mini documentary about Kevin Smith talking about making these adverts, and it looks like it was fucking filmed on a Panasonic eWare because the quality is like either that or a potato because the quality is so bit crunched on this thing on YouTube. It's amazing. So there you go. So that links Kevin Smith once more to the WWE universe.
That guy's got to be dead, right?
Kevin Smith?
No.
I couldn't find the name of the actor that played E-Man, sadly.
E-Man.
I wish him well.
It's going to suck being like, hey, remember that thing you advertised that no one bought? And the people that did buy it went, it's killed me PC.
Did it really have a lot of malware issues?
That's all I saw about it. One, it was an iPod, so it was already fucked. And two, destroy your insides. Anyway, that's next. No, not the eWare, the bikini off, or whatever they're calling it.
The swimsuit contest.
Thank you. Presented by the eWare dude. Oh, sorry, that's Taz. The contest was supposed to be between Stacey and Tori Wilson, but Cruiserweight champion Tajiri ran in and covered up Tori before the segment began. He took her backstage. After Stacey declared herself the winner, and she wouldn't have to take off her swimsuit, moments later, Trish Stratus, the brand new WWE Women's Champion, walked out and asked Stacey if she was afraid of a little competition. Then takes off her robe. Taz proclaimed Trish the winner, with Trish then knocking Stacey to the floor.
Yeah, so Trish had turned up, not unprepared for a bikini contest, but just had a knickers on, and everybody wanted that instead. This is Trish Stratus making her first appearance on SmackDown since the brand split.
Which she wasn't able to do because she wasn't the champ.
Yeah, and now she is a champ, and which is revealed in the Smack of the Night next. Yeah. She can now go between the brands. So we're going to get Trish Stratus on the show for a little bit now.
That's right.
Which is nice to see.
Other than that, it was a segment that happened.
Yeah, it's just, it felt like, if this felt like a way to reintroduce Trish to SmackDown as opposed to a legit bikini contest between Stacey and Tori, because it's like, what was the point in that? Other than some titillation. Yeah. So I think it's just to bring, it's just to put Trish on the roster, back in the hearts and minds of people by having her walk out in her underwear.
Yeah. Clearest Steel presents the Smack of the Night. Not that type of smack. Don't get excited.
No, what?
Which is Trish versus Jazz in a hardcore match for the title. With help from Bubba for some reason, Trish is able to overcome.
Now, what this was, this is what Michael Cole said on commentary when Trish came out. It was a mixed tag match on Raw.
With the women's title on the line.
With the women's title on the
line. So Bubba was this close to winning it.
Bubba was nearly the women's
Damn
champion.
Damn it.
This is the last we'll see of Jazz for a while.
She's injured, right?
She has ACL. She had an ACL injury. She's off for surgery. She's gone for 6 months now. That's from the Ross report this week. So be well. Onwards.
Yeah, solid.
As if
you can sign the cross for it.
Spectacles, testicles, wallet, watch. So as if the women's division isn't as anemic already as it is. Let's lose one of the best wrestlers, if not the best wrestler in the women's division.
Oh, well.
I know.
Backstage, Batista and Devon are chatting to Golda Kapp. famous holy man. Stacey re-enters, and she's mad about Trish. So Golda Cat decides, you know what? I'm going to make a match. Trish Stratus versus the Bajoran scum. Stacey Keebler. And goes, wait, hang on. Reverend, you need to protect Stacey. And Devon goes, well, I don't know anything about condoms. Goes, no, says Golda Cat. Stop thinking about sex all the time, says Golda Cat. Can't redo the voice. Devon's like, all right, my half-brother will be there for Trish, so it makes sense that I will be in her corner, thus taking all the attention away from the women in the ring. Yeah, so Devon will be at ringside for Stacey, because he's Golda Cat's holy man, and then Bubba will be watching Trish because he needs something to do.
Because of reasons.
Yeah.
Because of reasons. What's funny is the whole story with Golda Cat is that every time he's backstage, he's about to do something perverted and people burst in. The way that he spoke to Devon and Deacon, it was almost the opposite. Because he went, good job, Devon, and I'm very impressed with you, Deacon. And then Stacey interrupted. Oh, I was going to rub my face in his chest and you interrupted me. Vince loves a big man. Mm. Sorry, the cat loves a big man.
Vince? Thank you.
I never heard of it.
We've heard that song.
So from there, we're back in the ring.
Oh, but this segment went long, like 2 minutes too long. Am I right? So the tag champs, Billy and Chuck, get their entrance clipped. Oh, wait, no, sorry. It's only Rico. That's fair enough then. Yeah. Taking on Rikishi. Cole says Rikishi is built like a heavyweight, but moves like a cruiserweight.
Is that Will Cruz?
I mean, he doesn't, but Cole isn't allowed to say he bumps like a motherfucker on TV.
He bumps like a motherfucker.
Kishi lands the one-man 3D before taking the Rikishi cell on the outside from Billy. Jesus.
I love that one-man 3D that he did. Oh, yeah. My God, it's amazing. Yeah.
Rico grabs a ref in front of him and lands a kick, but Rikishi is tough as fuck, so he simply sits on Rico to counter a sunset flip to win at 2:04. Another epic. But in fairness, Rikishi rules in these sprints and has done since we started doing SmackDown. And then Rikishi does the two cool dance afterwards.
On the ramp with a hat and big pyro.
Yeah.
This is now part of his
he only gets it if he wins.
Right. If he loses, he gets... Wah, 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 and he has to walk off sap into the back.
He puts the hat in the bin. He's like the Spider-Man No More cover.
Rikishi No More.
And nobody knows what it's like to be the bad man. We get a dramatic video and hype for Judgment Day, you know, but feels a bit desperate, to be honest.
But how exciting. You can register to watch Judgment Day on WWE.com. They showed us this by having the Netscape Navigator window. Yeah.
Every time I see that, I get a pain in my lower back.
Think of the dial-up trying to play Judgment Day. Think of your computer screaming. Think how livid your parents are going to be because they can't get on the phone because you're watching Judgment Day for 3 hours. But a bit crunch screen. Oh, give me the noughties back, you bastard, just for one day.
There's a giant pop-up advert of a fuck off. Rico and Billy and Chuck interrupt Golda Cat. Oh, he's just trying to commit war crimes. Come on, man.
Let the man commit some war crimes.
Golda Cat is very upset. The three of them lost to Rikishi. Rico blames the gays. Yeah, like everyone. So Gold makes it Billy and Chuck defending their titles against Rikishi and a partner of Vince's choosing. Yes, Golda Cat has woke up and realized there's zero tag division and a pay-per-view on Sunday.
It's basically what's
happening.
What
the fuck can they wrestle? Can't do Alistair and Maven, the only other tag team.
There's no one. There is no one else. Yeah. Especially when they're SmackDown exclusive.
Yeah. And like, Jericho's already losing in the main event anyway, so you can't do two losses.
I don't know why they didn't just make the tag titles multi-brand. That would have made so much more sense.
Yeah. Look, it works out okay in the end.
It all works out fine, but at this point, it would have made so much more sense. Yeah.
Triple H and his constantly bandaged head get interviewed by The Mark. He should go, Mark!
Hey, Mark! Mark!
It's Mark, man.
What can you hear? It's got the cat.
I actually recorded that for my podcast. Triple H says Foley writes so many books now because Triple H retired him. Edge interrupts again and states they're still not friends just because they got jumped together. Triple H says Edge should win some world titles, then come back and talk shit. Edge says, you're right. I'll do the Triple H thing and marry the boss's daughter and sneak my way to the top.
Oh, slammed.
And I put, hey, Edge pretty much did do that. He did get a mega push after sleeping with somebody else's wife.
He did.
Nice advice, Triple E. Cheers, leader. Yeah, nice little bit here with Edge going, yeah, I know I'm not at your level, but I don't care.
Mm.
Good.
Brilliant. Good. Makes Edge look great.
That other Deep Space Nine character, good to cut. On the live feed, Taz and Cole hype up the UPN film Rumble in the Bronx this week.
I miss the good old days where just like a mid-movie being on a Sunday was quite an exciting time. Oh my God, they're showing...
Oh, I love that film.
they're showing Mac and Me afternoon.
Unless I own that on VHS, I'm not going to be able to see Rumble in the Bronx anytime I like. It's not like now.
Need to get back from church quick because they can show Rumble in the Bronx UPN.
And Taz is like, oh, Rumble in the Bronx. It's a bit like Brooklyn. It's like, not Brooklyn, it's the Bronx, silly. Oh, yo.
But I digress.
The two married couple. Yeah, not a lot of live feed stuff this time, sorry. Tajiri wears his belt around his head, and he is sponsored by Hungry Man. Hungry! The sum of all fears and Taco Bell. Hang on, wasn't Hungry Man just go to Taco Bell?
Because that's the sum of all fears.
Oh, he's racist, it says it. Oh, sorry. Racist hungry man. Anyway, Tajiri defends against Billy Kidman and Hurricane. But Tajiri attacks Kidman before Hurricane shows up. Taz says, superheroes, they're always late.
Hey!
Kidman and Hurricane team up against Tajiri because he hates women. Hurricane tries a choke slam, but Tajiri blocks it with a kick to the head. Kidman lands the SSP, but Hurricane interrupts. Tajiri does the handspring to knock Kidman off the apron, leading Hurricane to win the Cruiserweight title with a big choke slam. I think Tom may be right about teasing Helms never hitting it, but they did little to hype it. So another 2:21 epic, just a bunch of moves.
Basically, have we had a single match here tonight that's gone over 3 minutes?
No.
Is this like WWE speed? This is the work rate. 2002.
It's the work rate brand.
Work quick brand.
Yeah.
I thought fabulous triple threat for all the 2.5 minutes that we got of it. Give them so much longer, and it could have been a show stealer. I'm happy with Hurricane being the champion. I feel like this is a title change. It should have happened last week.
I'd think so. Yeah.
Because Tori throwing off the shackles of her now, I guess, ex-partner, should have been the catalyst to Hurricane hitting that chokeslam and pinning Tajiri and winning the title.
I'm not sure what they've got going on now with the Tajiri-Tori feud. It's just memories of a geisha.
Hey!
I just thought about that. That's awful. Yeah.
Lovely. 10 on 10.
But it doesn't matter. You may have or may not have heard about this episode because of one reason, and it's this. Hogan is here, limping like he's been gooning all night.
It's like he's at a morning communion on the loo, and he's just got a dead leg.
If you had to sleep on the floor after a party, you know all this.
That's how I was walking after we went to the box park and I sat on the loo for a bit and watched the press conference from the Rumble.
Oh, you did? Yeah, God.
That's how I was walking.
Well, Tom's like, I've had 3 hours sleep, trying to work. Fucking hell. The shoe elves in the stories on Christmas don't work as hard as Tom.
The shoe elves.
Quebec's like every other city and explodes, like Hogan, for ages upon seeing him. Like, imagine the pop The Rock would get, but it doesn't stop when he gets to the ring. It just goes on and on and on, with Hogan looking blown away and he starts tearing up. Fuck the decreasing ratings. The pop, I put the pop here, that's funny. Mm-hmm. The pop Hogan got was worth it. And it doesn't end. Hogan drops a mic, hasn't said anything yet, and walks around red-eyed with Taz and Cole going silent so you can hear it. The crowd will not stop. It sounds fake, but you can tell by the pop that keeps on going and going and going that it carries on and on. I had to watch the live feed, and it's legit. I thought, I've surely added something to this. No, it's all legit.
They're into him.
Which is staggering to me. Eventually, Hogan does a little hookup so he can actually talk and finally says, you guys are overwhelming. Hogan says he only had one plan, and that was to get to WrestleMania. But because of these Hulkamaniacs, he's staying. I think he specifically means these fans who gave him a pop this mental months ago after Mania. I think it may have been in Quebec. It was definitely in Canada, but he got a pop like this.
Would it have been after WrestleMania? Because WrestleMania was in the Sky Dome.
Of course, yeah.
Or Toronto.
Yeah. Hogan says he watches the news and knows things like 911 sucks. That's what he says.
But the band.
And it feels like he's in his... Ah, this is the quote I love. It feels like he's in his own fantasy world, and he hope he never leaves it and never ends. Said the quiet bit loud there, Hogan. Hogan tries to do his catchphrase, but Gold Ducat is here. You screwed Brett chants kicking. Oh, wow, that takes me back. I've not thought about that for a while.
Oh, God, yeah.
He screwed Bajoran Brett. Gold Ducat says Hulkamania is a disease, and he has cancer. Jesus Christ, all right. So Undertaker is going to put Hulk in a box and bury him. But that's not what you do with people who got cancer, mate. You treat them first.
He should never be a doctor.
Yeah. Crowd chants, na, 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 na. Goodbye to Gold Ducat, even though he's not leaving.
Yeah, that
they're
was
trying to get him to leave by doing that. I've never seen that before.
It reminded me of when we were at a party, Alex and I, like a family gathering, and one of the young daughters of one of Alex's cousins wanted to go home. So she decided the way to go home was to go up to everybody and say, goodbye, goodbye, goodbye. I was like, you go in, goodbye. And like, her mum had to go, we're not leaving yet, love. I want to go home. Goodbye.
That's good, that.
Goodbye.
She's learning. She's seen that's what we do when we leave.
Gone,
oh,
that's
right.
What we do when we leave. So if I start doing it, then everybody that's else great. Will leave and we'll go. It's,
I like that. Yeah.
Goodbye.
Yeah, bye.
Goodbye. Goodbye.
God, time to go. It. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Why is Gold Ducat the main feature of Triple H versus Jericho? And now also Hogan versus Undertaker.
It is weird, isn't it?
Anyway, Gold says the red on Hulk's shirt is blood and the yellow is a streak run down his back and slaps Hogan. Hogan resists, and it was a hell of a slap, giving Gold Ducat's shoulder muscles before slapping Gold Ducat back, ripping his own shirt, and then dropping the leg. Crowd loves it. Gold Ducat was there because he needed someone to be a jabroni, I guess, and Jericho can't lose twice in one night. Wait, yes, he can. But yeah, live feed notes. Cole and Taz say a few more words before going silent, but it really is as loud and genuine as there. Afterwards, on the live feed, Gold Ducat oversells the beating and declines two referees' help to the back. So the crowd serenade him again with the na-na-na-na goodbye.
Oh.
And he does the daftest Gold Ducat walk of all time out of the ringside area.
Was womp,
womp, womp, womp.
Ridiculous. Ridiculous. Wow. He didn't need to insert himself into this, but I guess he felt like he wanted to give Hogan a chance to give him a beating as champion before
I
the
guess.
Pay-per-view. Send him home
Hogan
happy.
Needed to beat up someone. He couldn't beat up Undertaker, I guess. So it's like, all right, fine. It didn't take away from this stunning scene. Like, really I'd heard good. About this segment. It's been a while since I've actually watched it. And it's just funny the context of things, because you've just been going, ratings are down, attendance is crap, all this. And then Hogan comes out to a reaction reserved for the Pope.
It's so deceptive. When you're hearing like these reactions for Hogan and then the ratings reflect and they go, it's not scanning. But yeah, everyone who's there is fucking delighted to see him. Would you have rode the Hogan train for a little longer?
No. As the ratings have said, like it was time.
Yeah.
He was only going to get a retro pop there. I think it was timed beautifully. Came in there, obviously like, oh, you're way more over than we've realized. The NWO thing's going nowhere. Scott Hall is Scott Hall and Nash is crap. So yeah, oh, let's run with this, but only for a bit. Yeah, because the stand you can only get you for so long. It's weird that he went to the Undertaker.
Do you know what?
Who's newer and fresher compared to Hogan?
Without giving away too much of what's to come, do you know would have probably been more what I'd have preferred. Without giving to it, beat Undertaker, tap out to Angle, lose it to Angle. That would feel like a passing torch. Because Angle ends up in the title picture by the summer anyway. Yeah. So have it go to him and then have him drop it to someone else. Mm. I feel that would have been a nicer way to do it. No spoilers for next week, by the way.
No week spoilers after next. For something that happened in 02. And then the alleged main event, Kurt Angle and Chris Jericho taking on Triple H and The Edge. Kurt taunts Edge with some of his hair, so dumb Edge takes the bait and charges both of them before Triple H shows up. Triple H politely waits before entering to a presumed mega pop that doesn't occur because he ain't Hogan. Nothing can follow that. Triple H drops Kurt on the barricade as I have a look and realize we never get another Kurt versus Triple H singles match. It's all tag matches from now on.
Tag matches all the way down.
I've seen it. Taz and Cole wonder whose career will end in Hell in a Cell. Spoiler, Tim White. Kurt Angle gets a spider monkey belly to belly off the top, which always looks stunning. Edge and Triple H give each other the evil eye, but do still work together. Angle works over Edge and looks mad about it. Triple H makes the hot tag and gets straight I get taken out straight away. Haha, get fucked. Oh, wait, double clothesline brings in Edge with a flying one on both men. Angle slam count onto the half Nelson face slam, that I can't remember the name of. Spear takes out Jericho. Angle slam onto Edge. And Pedigree doesn't take out Kurt because Jericho interrupts. And then Jericho and Triple H brawl in the crowd. To really sum up the dangers of Hell in a Cell, because they won't be able to do that on Judgment Day, or something, leaving Edge free to brawl with Kurt in the ring. Ending with Edge running into a chair holding Kurt for a bam. Edge takes the angle slam to end a lovely 8 minutes 48. When Angle pinned Edge was almost, this match was featured on WWE's Top 50 Superstars of All Time DVD.
Random, but very I guess random, you know, you're taking a lot of boxes with one match.
Yep. And that's the end of the show. On the live feed, Kurt and Jericho decide to beat up Triple H some more, leading to Rikishi and Billy and Chuck also joining in until Hogan pops back out to double knocker the tag champs as well as Jericho, who sell like the Chuck brothers, getting their second reaction in one episode. It really is. Hogan comes out, bonk, 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 whoa! And kind of like, yeah, 80s offense. I hope he does a bear hug next.
So Hogan sends the fans home happy doing the
absolutely
hot dogging and the grandstanding and all that. Stuff.
Hogan must pose.
Yeah, that's how you do it. That's how you get home for Judgment Day, baby. Best match of the night was probably the triple threat, but I thought that came close. I thought I had some fun in this one.
Yep, some fun.
And it's, yeah, as you say, sets us up for Judgment Day, for Trips in Jericho, for Angle and Edge. So it ticks all the boxes, really, going into this Sunday. Mm-hmm. Sunday, 72 hours, 3 days from Judgment Day. What did you remember from this episode?
I remembered some of the great episodes of Deep Space Nine. Like, Gold the Cat first appears and he's asked, Gold, can you show up? He's like, why do you want me to show up? He's like, well, without this bit in the ship that we're in, it's your alarm system. So it's attacking us, it's trying to kill us. He just shows up nonchalant, his lasers flying off and goes, oh, I remember this. Yes, designed to shoot anybody that tries to. Why are you opening it, Cisco? Well, I'm allowed to. It's under Federation property. I see. Nothing's hitting him. He's like, okay. I guess I could help you out. Oh, he's just fucking like, can you please? Oh, we are friends now, aren't we, Cisco? Very well. And he authorized it. Oh, I'd love to get you in Deep Space Nine. So what happened on SmackDown?
I don't think it matters, mate.
I forgot, that was a
fabulous little bit, that was.
Oh, I remembered Hogan's mega pop.
The mega pop for the Hulk?
The mega pop for the mega power. I mean, Jesus Christ, it's not often you get a pop like that.
Yeah, they kept on and kept on and kept on and kept on. I remember Triple H and Edge squaring up, and I remember going, whoa, this is massive for Edge. Like, yeah. I remember thinking, like, this is a big deal for our boy Edge. He's getting in there with Trips. That's exciting. It's good, that. What did you forget?
I forgot Gregory Helms, Roving Reporter.
Eve, reporter for the Daily Globe.
That's it. That's it. That's it.
He's nice.
He's so nice. I forgot when he was threatening to kill all the Bajorans again. He's a good guy.
It's
so great because it's all tense because the Bajorans are like the Russians are, hello, Bajorans. Bajorans like, hello. Only war now, is there, you little fuck? No, we're friends now. Get the fucking hands off me. So good. Yeah, Roving Reporter Gregory Helms.
Nice. I forgot about the triple threat for the Cruiserweight title.
It's pretty forgettable.
I know, but I forgot about it. I thought I really enjoyed that. It was only 2 minutes, but it was like a nice little showcase for all three of them. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed it immensely. I could also say I'd forgotten about the Hogan promo. And at least I forgot that it occurred on this SmackDown until he got in the ring and it carried on. I went, oh, it's this one.
This one.
I was laughing at Hogan about 20 minutes ago, and now I'm like, that's a special.
Yeah. Amazing, yeah. I mean, a bit like that. He did one of the daftest, crappest looking things you'd ever seen a world champion be involved in on Raw. Next week, no one cares. We love you, Hogan.
Yeah, honestly.
Like, wow. Look, he's the immortal one for a reason.
It's very, very true.
He hasn't died yet.
So, if you've heard it already, thank you for downloading it. Roads to WrestleMania Part 4 went live yesterday. We've chronicled the entire story of Cody Rhodes from the very beginning to that chat in the Waffle House with his dad to the main event of WrestleMania 40. That the whole thing is ready for you now to listen to. If you haven't listened to it already, you got like, I think it's like 8 hours long in total.
Wow, a charismatic villain who thinks he's the hero. Can you stop talking about Deep Space Nine?
Live reactions tonight, 2 of WrestleMania on the Cultaholic YouTube channel a few hours from now, plus what happened at the WTF moments on the channel as well. It's WrestleMania weekend, of course. What do you want to plug, Matthew Gregg?
Deep Space Nine is on Netflix.
Brilliant.
There's some great episodes, because later on, because he's so convinced of how cool he is, he tries to like seduce Bajor, this fantastic Bajoran woman. And she's like, you're out your fucking mind. You killed like half me mates. Oh, come now, Major. Don't be like that, Shearer. Look, I can play baseball.
Him.
Look how big my shoulder muscles
he's
are.
He's got some big
He's absolutely convinced
eyebrows.
He can fucking like do whatever he likes. And it's like, because I'm so cocky and sexy. Because you are, but fuck off.
So I think Math is plugging Deep Space Nine on Netflix. Go watch that if you want a little bit of a break. And for the latest wrestling news throughout the weekend, you can check out cultaholic.com. And we're back in 2 weeks.
Yes.
2 weeks. Not here next week. Back next week with the retro reactions to Judgment Day 2002. He is at Matthew Gregg on Twitter.
Yes.
I'm at Tom Campbell on Deep Space Nine. Together we're at Cultaholic on Twitter. Don't forget to join us.
Attention, workers. Yeah. Attention, Bajoran workers. Make sure to download the Cody Rhodes MP3 from Tom Campbell's lovely mouth.
Yes!
And kill any Bajorans you see. No, Cole, don't say that. The war's been over for years now.
The Force will be with you always.
Shut the fuck up.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
For all the wrestling headlines in just 10 minutes, search Cultaholic Wrestling News on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.